Currently here at KSCO, it is 57 degrees, and keep it right here. We got the Saturday special with your host, MZ.
Is he? Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes, we've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Well, good morning, Monterey Bay and Silicon Valley. Welcome to hour number one of the KSC Out of Breath Saturday Special. Not all the way down, Sam. We're going to have a hot program today about things going on up in the San Lorenzo Valley that might not be all that kosher nor proper. Stay with us for the next 2 hours.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Bucolic Santa Cruz Mountains. Lots of trees and tranquility. So warm in the summer and chilly in the winter. A place to make your home. Many people are fiercely protective of exactly that home. Janet Laidlaw has lived in the Santa Cruz Mountains for 30 years and she sees some problems. For example, the San Lorenzo Valley Water District purchase of the Waterman Gap. Land use issues and voting. Texas and the Water District, matters in relation to Big Creek Lumber. KSCO has invited board members of the Water District, and MZ will host this Saturday's special from 10 a.m. to noon as we discuss matters in the mountains from 10 a.m. to noon on your locally owned and proud of it radio stations, AM 1080 and 1340 KSCO.
Okay, I think this is going to be one of those Saturday specials. Not all the way down, just a little bit of the way down. Good. Thanks, Sam. It's 8 minutes past 10 a.m. on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. My name is MZ. Welcome to the Saturday special, gang. It's going to be one of those Saturday specials that's a little lopsided. you know, I'm beginning to think that the days of having both or all sides of a controversial issue are gone. I don't know why. I guess government. Whenever government or any kind of authority is involved, and they're asked to appear and be in any way accountable or answerable to anything that members of the public are irritated about or thinks is improper, what has become the standard response is, oh, thank you, we appreciate the invitation, but we're busy. I don't think they're busy at all. I just don't think they want to participate at all. So, but that's just the way life is, ladies and gentlemen. We can't force anybody to show up. The invitation went out to everybody, and any of the members of the San Lorenzo Valley Water District, and each of them has declined for whatever reason to show up or to call in or whatever. Basically, they don't give a damn what you think. But the show must go on, and we're going to welcome Janet Laidlaw, who is a concerned citizen in the San Lorenzo Valley. You heard about Janet on the promo. Also in the studio here today are Gordy Stewart, a candidate for the San Lorenzo Valley Water Board, Skip Mathis, is also in the studio. He's a former candidate for the San Lorenzo Valley Water Board. Okay, now, we just had an election. What happened?
Oh, well, in the election, the incumbents won. Ross and Nelson won. They had...
Are these bad people?
I wouldn't call them bad. I'd call them misguided because uh-huh. They're not doing the business for the people of the water board.
Why do you think they won? If they've been doing this, why would they be reelected if they're not behaving properly?
Well, one reason, they have the backing of the Valley Women's Club. up in the Valley, which is a very powerful organization.
Is it a corrupt organization?
I believe they do a lot of good, but they have an environmental committee that I believe is controlling the politics in the San Lorenzo Valley. And I don't believe that's
right. So it's like a political machine or something, and if you don't have their endorsement, you're dead, basically, if you run for anything.
Basically.
Okay.
They've all got right. A telephone tree and everything. They get the word out, and they are politically aligned with the supervisors and all of the, politicians and the whole political machine in the Valley.
We'll start at the beginning, Janet. Tell me what's bothering you, okay?
Well, a while back I got involved in a referendum with a fellow named Bruce Onito up in the San Lorenzo Valley, and we were concerned over the sale of Waterman Gap, some property that was donated to the Water District. And they were planning...
Oh, excuse me, who donated it to the Water District?
I don't have that information. I have
it's
some other
private
people.
Private family or
yeah,
whatever?
Yeah, a fellow died up there and willed it to the Water District.
So that's a good thing, right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, it was a cash cow to the Water District the way they saw it, but they were under extreme pressure from what I call eco-Nazis up there to manage that property without doing any logging on it. Previous to that, there had been logging done on the property, and there are a lot of people concerned about the logging issue that don't understand that you have to manage forests.
Hmm.
Right.
Okay. So what happened then?
Well, we got a referendum together because these people were not even asking the citizens in the Valley Water Board District if they wanted to sell it or not. They changed the designation on the land and stated it was surplus property. This is over 1,000 acres of land that is next to Castle Rock Park. And... basically, what it seemed to me was, I remember being quoted in the paper back then saying, what is this, the Sierra Club making our decisions for us or something? I really didn't know about the Valley Women's Club and the whole political environment that was going on up there. We circulated a petition. We got enough signatures. Our concerns were that they were offered $10 million from the Semper Virens for over 1,000 acres of land. Previously, they had they were trying to sell it to the Semper Virens for $3 million. And now a bid came in for $10 million from the Semper Virens. This was after some time after the $3 million bid. Okay, but I was at the meeting that night. A bid came in from Big Creek Lumber Company for $19 million for their logging rights. We would have kept the property. We would have had the fire danger reduced. We would have had, in essence, somebody taking care of the maintenance for us while we kept the land. And there were a lot of people who wanted to do educational projects on that land. But now it's locked up, and the state has it, and no one can go on the land because the state doesn't have enough money to have people to take care of it and supervise it.
Forgive me again. How many acres are involved here?
This is over 1,000 acres.
It's 1,320 acres, I believe.
Okay.
It's a little over two and a half square miles of land. Previous to the Water District getting this, this land was logged. There are people that went up there that selectively harvest. They were not allowed to use mechanized equipment. They had to go in there by hand and cable, to take log out, to thin out the property and properly manage it. The Semper Virens offered $10.9 million. The night that the bids were closed, there were two offers, one from Big Creek and one from Roger Birch Redwood Empire, that were right around $20 million. But one of the board members says, too late, bidding's closed, the deal's done.
Well, he also said, we don't want any logging on that property.
Yes, this is an emotionally based decision. It was not based in logic or science. It was strictly emotionally based, thou shalt not cut a tree, period, and we're going to do our best to make sure that we control that aspect of forest management. So,
go ahead.
Thanks.
If I might
embellish that a little, too, there had been, prior to all these proceedings, an advisory committee established by the Water District a few years prior, made up of citizens from all over the valley, representing various interest groups and aspects of the valley's business, social, educational communities. This group, and I was a member of that committee, met in length. We had many meetings discussing the possible sale of this property, the retention of the property, what uses it could be used for, what's its value as an asset to the community at large versus just selling it. The end result that was hammered out, and believe me, there was a lot of good input and a lot of ideas bounced around back and forth, and the meetings weren't always just bobbing heads. There was a lot of dissension on points, and ultimately they were worked out, hammered out, and amicable agreements were reached, and levels of mutual understanding were attained. And the result was that the report was submitted to the Water District Board. Now, this is a report, mind you, that supposedly was supposed to be the views of a cross-section of the community to give guidance to the Water Board as to what the community wanted. So this was the community speaking. Their pretty much unanimous approach was not to sell the property, for the Water District to keep it. Now, the board turned right around and ignored that and sold it anyway. Also, it was the decision of this committee and recommendation to the board that it be used for educational purposes within the community, and also that some level of logging take place there in order to maintain a healthy forest.
All of that sounds reasonable, Skip. Okay, so that wasn't done. It was sold anyhow.
Right. So to lead up to what she was saying, the board just pretty much ignored the community and did what they wanted to do.
Okay.
So their approach or stance that they represent the community and did what the community wanted. Well, the record's going to show otherwise. And to go back to the very good points that they brought up, when I was a candidate in 92, I believe it was in the 92 election, I had uncovered because of some inside sources in the Water District that they were making a backroom deal with Sempervirens to dispose of this property for $3 million. When cornered on the topic, an admission was made that the reason they had settled on that sum was because that was all the money the Sempervirens had. That was their total accumulated available assets at the time. So they were going to just sell it for whatever they had. Well, I made a campaign issue out of that, and that put an end to it.
Jump in here, Skip.
Sure.
I talked to Janet Webb from Big Creek Lumber Company, and she said that when that they heard about that they put in a bid for that property, which kind of showed that the land was worth a lot more because they were bidding a lot higher.
What was that bid, you remember?
I'm not sure. I thought she said it was $19 million then, but I'm not positive.
Yeah, 19.6 was the figure that I had, at least the final bid that Big Creek had.
Okay, so the whole point here, I'm trying to cut to the chase even at the beginning of the program because I want to sort of get an idea as to why our broad audience, people outside of the San Lorenzo Valley, should be interested in what's
going on.
That's the real key.
They should
here.
Be real upset because at the end of this now, Sempervirens paid $10.9 million and then turned around and sold it to the state for $3 million. They got screwed $8 million. Okay?
I can't believe that. That doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. None of this makes sense because it's all emotionally based. We go on to the next step. The state had declared back then, and I talked with the wardens, the rangers, and all the people in the state park system, that they did not want that property. They only had one ranger to manage the whole Castle Rock area. They didn't want that property annexed onto it. So as a consequence now, the state has issued a news brief, I think it was 3 weeks ago, when your mother noticed this, that land was going to be closed off to the public. Nobody can go on it. It's not going to be managed. So what have we done here? We've taken a piece of property that could have had a tax base, could have had beneficial use. We've taken it and put it off to the side. Semper Verum's got screwed $8 million. The people, the San Lorenzo Valley, got screwed out of the use of that land, and it's not taxable.
Semper Verum's didn't get, they weren't forced to sell for a $7 million.
No, these people are so ecologically driven, they would be willing to take a loss of millions of dollars in order for those
there
trees
we go.
Not
that's
to be
our,
cut.
That's our issue. See, these people who are in the San Lorenzo Valley Water District are not taking care of the needs of the water district and the people there. They're there to do all this environmental work, to get as much land as they can into a preserve. They are preservationists. They don't want a tree cut. I've heard that Mr. Ross said at one time that cutting one tree would destroy the spirit of the forest. Well, if you don't do
these
it, Mother Nature will
really
take care of it for
here.
You. Mother Nature will take care of it for you if you don't take care of it yourself, and you might not like what she decides to do. And being living in the San Lorenzo Valley up in Boulder Creek, I don't like having that fire threat behind me because I know I can't even drive out of there fast enough if all of us got the word that there was a big enough fire. So,
and even for those who may be on the other side of this spectrum, even for those who adhere to a philosophy that we shouldn't cut any trees, they should still have reservations and concerns about the fact that every other single piece of property in this area that has been placed into reserves and preserves and quote purchased by a public source have all gone for current market value. I mean, you can talk
including
about
the $7,000 acre Coast Dairies property, Coast.
Traditionally, they all go out to bid. They're put on the market.
And that's off the public rolls now, is it? Or has that been purchased by it?
I'm not
sure of the status. I know they pretty much shut down the dairy operation, and it's not an operating dairy, which is another resource that this county has lost, an economic resource this county has lost. And this may be behind a lot of these schemes. I'm sure you have noticed the loss of money-making enterprises in this county over the past 30 years. You know, this is deliberate, driving businesses out of this county. If you can make money off your land, especially rural land, we want to, you know, the powers that be want to put a stop to that. The people that livelihood were dependent upon the forest industries in Boulder Creek, they're no longer able to make a living now. Where do they go? They leave the area. They come down. They live in community shelters. They're a burden on the system. They're disenfranchised simply because they can't earn a living in a traditional sense of the word. We've lost Lipton Tea, Blockbuster.
Salts Tannery.
We go on down the list of all these companies and corporations that have been targeted for extinction in this county. It's a deliberate attempt. I don't want to ramble on conspiracy theories, but this all goes back to Agenda 21. Al Gore and that bunch during the Clinton administration, what Jan just handed me here was International Implications on Water Use in America. This is by Tom McDonald. Presented to the Trans-Texas Heritage Association March 29, 1998. I just want to read you the last two paragraphs of this here. The President and the Vice President's watershed initiatives are aimed at granting our regulatory agencies such powers as are needed to centralize watershed land use authority. Centralized watershed authority, in effect, regulates our nation's food security. Yet the only safe thing most people can say about history is they learn nothing from it. Each generation feels itself wiser and stronger than those of the past and therefore immune to the hazards of history. I could go on and on, but basically it says people don't learn from history. What's happening here is there's centralization of power here. All this is going to the hands of the government and special elite circles, and you and I, the ordinary citizen, has nothing to say about this. We have been disenfranchised. We have no power to even live our lives the way we see fit on our own property.
Gordy, what do you hope to happen as a result? What do you hope will happen as a result of this radio broadcast, for example?
Well, I'm hoping we're reaching out and we're communicating and waking some people up. I talked with our supervisor, Mark Stone, this past week, and he was very gracious with me. He gave me an hour of his time, and I probably overloaded him with the view from outside of the government arena. He was very interested in what I had to say when I pointed out that the metropolitan areas are dictating to the rural areas how they live their lives. I don't think the guy had a clue what it's like, what a hard life it is living in a rural area, yet we provide all the food, we provide all the natural resources that go into the cities. And this is totally unrecognized. The people have got their heads buried in the sand. They don't believe that those people out there in rural America are supporting them in every way, shape, and form. And it's not right for the cities and the power, the centralized power, to dictate to rural America how to live their lives when they are the ones that are feeding and supporting these powers and cities.
Okay, so...
But it also shows the myth surrounding the concept of locally owned water when government's involved. They constantly hit us between the eyes with the concept of locally owned water. Well, that's just a myth. It's a catchphrase. When government gets involved, there is no longer any locally owned water because they have a national and international agenda for that resource.
I have a property where I live here in Santa Cruz County. And some years ago, you might recall that there was an enormous controversy about registration of private water wells. Do you remember that?
They
didn't want to put meters on the well. They just wanted to register. They just wanted people who owned private wells to register their wells. Well, then the next question is, well, why? I mean, because if you're not
going to... That's like registering your gun. What's the next step?
If you're
going to take it away.
If you're not going to... if you're not going to... what's the point of just registering it? Exactly. So the next step is probably going to be metering of your own well water that you own.
And they're charging you for your own water.
Yeah, okay, and that is what's happened. Now, just recently here at the radio station, I received a bill from the Pajaro Valley Water Management Agency. It was for $73 or something, and it was for the annual fee. So they're not metering the well. Because I broke down and registered, 10 years ago, and I probably shouldn't have done that. I probably just should have said, bleep you, I'm not going to do it. What are you going to do to me? And see what happened. I decided, I'll register. It's no harm in registering, but if they ever start charging me for my own water, that's a different thing altogether. I guess I shouldn't have done that. I guess, was I stupid to do that? Was I stupid to
register?
Well,
I'd recommend to everybody who has springs
or
wells...
No, you're just naive.
...not to let people know that they have them, because coming down the line, there will be... the UN is involved in all this, too, and they're trying to control the water for the world.
Yeah. Well, when I called the Pajaro Valley Water Management Agency, I said, what the hell is this bill? What is this thing? And I said, don't worry. It's nothing that hasn't been on your tax bill for eons anyhow. Someone decided that we should send a separate bill. And they said, if you go back and check your tax bill from previous years, which I haven't done yet, but hopefully I will have time to do that, you will see that this charge has been there all the time. So my question then is, if it's been there before on the taxes, why is it suddenly not? It would seem to me that you would want to continue to bury it on the tax bill rather than, create a red flag that would make a lot of people angry and call up and say, what the hell is this charge?
Well, it's funny that you should mention taxes and tax bills and all this, because there's another issue going on in the San Lorenzo Valley that I'd like to bring up, and that's the fact that we have what's called the San Lorenzo Valley Water District, and that involves most of the land in that area. But you have only a certain number of hookups. The rest of the people who are in the San Lorenzo Valley Water District who aren't connected their taxes go into the San Lorenzo Valley Water District.
It's a very circuitous route. The basic mechanism is that if you're in the water district, you pay higher property taxes. These taxes go to the state, which filtered back down to the county, and the county then reimburses the water district. In fact, 30% of the funding from the water district comes from taxes outside their connection base. Or there's 5,600 connections, or something like 5,610 connections in the valley. There's probably 20,000 residents in the valley, which means that there's roughly 15,000 people that don't have a service, but they're in the water district. So my question is, what are they paying for? Why are they in the district if they receive no services? This is one of the points that I brought up when I was running for water board, and I got this answer, well, it's all up to the state to decide that. Well, if that's true, then I'd like to get an initiative going to remove those of us that are in the district that don't have a connection. There's also this moratorium issue that Jan may talk about here. There's a water moratorium that was placed in 1980. On new connections.
But
there are some people that get those connections even today. That connection, that moratorium hasn't been lifted.
It's a selective moratorium.
It's who they decide is going to get the connections. They're doing it on an individual basis.
How do they decide?
On an individual basis.
Based upon whether they were supported in their bid to be on the water board?
An application is submitted to the board for approval by the board members. How they decide a specific case, that's something we can't really address. That comes from within their own mind. But I have sat there at meetings where they sit there and discuss an individual's application and decide whether or not they'll be allowed to hook up. Now, what motivates each director's decision, of course, is up for speculation, but that's the way it's done.
Okay. Wow. Well, there's a lot of information here, and when we have these kinds of programs, the challenge for the host is to keep interest for the broad audience here. So, what is it that you want to happen? Okay, do you want the board to say we're sorry we sold this property, or what do you want to happen?
With the referendum that I was on with Bruce Anito, we gathered enough signatures to get it put on the ballot. We want
put on the ballot?
The sale of the Waterman Gap.
Okay.
One of our issues is we would like to have the people who are in the San Lorenzo Valley Water District be able to vote on these things. Now, I've talked to
After the fact? How do you do that?
No. This was before.
Okay. Sorry.
And we had enough signatures, but some of the signatures were disqualified, partly because if you don't have a home residence address, and you just put down a P.O. box, your vote is disqualified. And up in the San Lorenzo Valley, not all of the people up there have a home address. So consequently, they have no vote also. So that's an issue with me also.
One big issue that I talked about at the forums was doing a customer satisfaction survey. They think that they know all about what their constituents, they use that word a lot, constituents' feelings are on these matters. They don't know. They have very selective input on the matters before the board. I've worked for agencies over the hill. I worked for Santa Clara County. I worked for the city of San Jose in their planning departments. We all the time did customer satisfaction surveys, whether it was in regards to how their sewage system was working or their trash pickup or their water delivery system. We'd send these little flyers out and the customers would write their comments, so at least we had a reality check on what we're doing. This board absolutely refuses to do it. The comments I get from them is, well, we already know what they want. We don't need their input. And we're not going to put up anything to a vote because we're the all-wise almighty. We're not going to do that.
Mr. Ross told me one time.
Who's Mr. Ross?
He's
David
currently
Ross.
President of the board.
Yeah, he's president of the board, San Lorenzo Valley Water District. And he said, the people voted for us and they trust us to make the decisions. And I beg to differ with that. I think the people are uninformed and they need to be informed of what is at stake here. You know, when I first reason the whole Saturday special started was before the election, I was on talking about the water district.
On
and
the morning program, was it?
Yes, on the noon program, and your mother heard me and asked me to call back. And lost my train of thought there, but...
If we're going to lose trains of thought, I got a great idea.
Okay.
Why don't we go take our first caller? We haven't even invited phone calls yet, but we've got a couple of callers.
Okay.
If you want to call the Saturday special and contribute anything, even money.
Yeah.
479-1080 or 477-1340. If you want to fax us a question or comment, our fax number is 475-2967. And if you want to email us, use my email address, mz@ksco.com. It is now 24 minutes before 11 a.m. We're going to go to our first caller. That would be John in Santa Cruz, who thanks God for our guests. Okay, hi, John. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. No. That message is completely wrong.
Oh, okay.
Completely wrong. Okay. What I said was, thank goodness that this land has been set aside and preserved and kept from being destroyed like these people would like it to be. And what they need to realize is that forest land affects more than just the people living around it. I live at the coast, and if there's forestry and silt entering the rivers and whatnot, it affects everybody. It affects people at the ocean. It affects the whole ecosystem. In fact, it has an impact on the entire Monterey Bay. It's more than just the people living up there. These kind of individuals simply, I'm sure they're George Bush supporters. They just want to develop, money. And what they don't understand is that group who sold the money, they bought it for $10 million and sold it for $3 million, these individuals look at it and say, oh, they lost something. They lost $7 million. What they don't understand is, no, society has gained by preserving these redwoods. Hello?
Okay. I'm sorry. Caller, are you still there? No, he left. Okay, our next caller is Daniel in Watsonville. Daniel, you're on the KSCO Saturday special.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. Getting back to this idea that a lot of folks have, that turning a water...
Excuse me. Please, no, don't anybody talk, okay? We're on the air now, okay? Just let the caller talk.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, getting back to this idea that turning a water source over to a public agency will allow it to be kept in public hands, I mean, that's kind of a myth, because I look at my situation down here in Watsonville where it's a public... water agency, the city of Watsonville, has control of my water source, and now they're trying to dump fluoride in it, and, you know, we've tried to fight this, and they will not listen to us. So I really reject this notion that turning a water supply over to a public agency is keeping it in the public domain and what the people, you know, the public wants. It's not true.
Okay. Did you guys hear what he said?
I heard part of it.
Okay. You want to repeat it? Say it all over again, because nobody could hear anything here because none of the headphones were connected.
Okay. Yeah, getting back to this notion that turning a water supply over to a public agency keeps it in the public interest, I see that as a myth, because I look at my situation down here in Watsonville where the city of Watsonville has control over the water supply, and they're forcing fluoride to be put into the water against the wishes of the people. We voted on it and everything else, and they're still forcing it on us. So I really see this idea that if a water supply is turned over to a public agency, that it's, you know, for the good of the public, that the public will have control over it. I see it as a myth.
What do you say, guys?
Well, I tend to have to agree with the gentleman. It's, I mean, come on, folks. I don't think there's any major dispute among society that when government's running something, I don't think you're going to get swarms of people praising and handing down accolades as to how well and efficient the government does it. So to an extent, yes, whenever government's running any agency, there seems to be inherent problems which do a disservice at large. And as far as the previous caller, John, you know, it's unfortunate that when we try to create dialogue, such as we're having here today, that that people want to be so closed-minded about it. I mean, the first thing out of your mouth was attacking me that I'm against redwoods or I'm against the environment. You know, I've lived up there all my life, and the reason that valley exists in the state that exists in the pristine condition that exists is because people like us who have lived here all our lives and our families have maintained and taken care of this area. There would be no redwoods there if your concept were true. So to attack us really isn't going to solve anything. We want to preserve the area too. We also are aware that it needs some management. We don't want it to be burned like vast areas of the country. The millions of acres have been burned because of a dogmatic environmental approach. We want to take a more systemic approach to the environment that where we, because we've intervened with nature and not allowed it to groom and maintain itself, provide some method whereby this can happen. So, and by taking and drawing a line in the sand, it's really just ruining dialogue and cutting off discourse. And we find this to be true with the water district. They don't want to hear, whenever you get an opposing point of view or an idea which may be contrary to your own, the first thing that we get is attacked and dismissed. So dialogue, it disappears and it becomes a...
Well, there certainly isn't any dialogue going on today, because I would think that at least one or two of the members of the water district would have enough interest and decency to call into the radio program.
Yeah, one of the points here is that these people on the water board, let's look at who they are. We've got an attorney, we've got a liquor store owner, we've got a hippie organic farmer. Let's see, who else do we have? Oh, we've got a software engineer. Are these people experts on the environment? I don't think so. Here, I come into this program with 5.5 years of environmental science at San Jose State. I have a BS in environmental science. I can't get on that board because I know too much. It's quite simple. I've also lived up there in the mountains for over 30 years, sleeping in my sleeping bag still as I did 30 years ago. This is not a hyperbolic statement that I'm making here. This is a fact.
Are you homeless?
I don't consider myself homeless at all. That's my home.
You choose to sleep in a sleeping bag in your home.
Yes.
Well,
oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a dome, a 100-square-foot dome that I live in my sleeping bag is where I sleep.
Okay.
Okay, I didn't pick that because I'm persecuting myself. I left a home in Palo Alto. I sold it at a very good price. I cashed in my chips. I was disgusted what was going on up here. I've owned property up here for many decades. I decided it was time to get out of this madness of the city and move up here and manage my property. So that's what I've been doing. That's my expertise. I defy anybody in our government to claim to have that kind of authority or expertise, yet these are the people that are making decisions about our way of life.
We have open lines at 477-1340, one open line at 479-1080. I think we're going to take a commercial break here in just a moment. If we're ready, Sam, yeah? Okay, this is the KSCO Saturday Special Hour, number one thereof. We're talking about water and property issues in the San Lorenzo Valley. Just because this may not directly affect you, I would suggest that you pay attention, ladies and gentlemen, because there's some pretty basic stuff that we're talking about today. Get ready to give us a call at 477-1340. There's a lot more ahead on the KSCO AM 1080 Saturday Special.
In today's world of instant gratification and fast foods, who has time to have a healthy meal or snack while on the go? Sure, you could go to the drive-thru and stuff more deep-fried sugar-saturated junk into your face, but your body's hungry for real food, for protein. Here's pharmacist Ben Fuchs telling us about the importance of protein.
Protein comes in different types. There's whey protein, there's egg protein, there's a vegetable-based protein, but by far and away the most important protein for many reasons is the protein that we call whey protein. Now, whey is a byproduct of the cheese-making process. Milk is converted into cheese by producing two different proteins, casein and whey. Casein is a gummy, cheesy kind of protein. It has a sort of curd-like quality. And then whey is a liquidy protein. It has a watery quality. And this curd-like protein that we call casein is actually what accounts for a lot of milk allergies and problems that people have with milk. Whey, on the other hand, that's the liquid portion, is a very non-allergenic form of protein and very, very easily digestible. And you know what else? When you eat protein for breakfast first thing in the morning, you stay fuller longer. When you have some kind of refined carbohydrate, some kind of floury food, bready food, cereal kinds of foods for breakfast, you feel like you need to have a snack around 10 or 11 o'clock, and indeed that's what happens. So breakfast is a real important meal, and it's not that difficult to make sure that your kids are getting a good breakfast. I really do like these powdered formulas that you can put into water and drink, especially because there's not a lot of dishes to wash.
American Longevity's Ultimate Nature's Way is the ultimate source of protein, even higher than eggs. Mix the chocolate or vanilla-flavored Ultimate Nature's Way with water, milk, or juice for a meal or healthy snack. It's perfect for helping you with your food cravings, and at $31.50 wholesale, it's perfect for your pocketbook. Feed your body what it needs. Protein with American Longevity's Ultimate Nature's Way. To order or to pick up American Longevity products, call Scott or Jose at KSCO Radio, 831-475-1080. That's 831-475-1080.
Hello?
Mark?
Yes.
Dennis here from Day and Night Computer.
Hey, what's up, Dennis?
Checking in on you, man. I haven't heard from you. Most of the time people get a new computer, they call me with a question or two.
I don't really have any questions yet.
But you're pretty happy with it, though, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I'm very, very happy with it, Dennis. It's very impressive. Thank you so very much. It's a godsend. It really is. Better than anything you could buy at the store, that's for sure. So everything's working good on it so far. Yeah, I'm just very grateful to you for selling me such a good computer. Maybe that's why I haven't called you, because it was working so good. It's so darn fast. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, is that what you like the most?
Yeah, the speed and the features that it has. You know, it's just a very nice computer.
Talk to Day and Night Computers. Call 465-7340. That's 465-7340. Do yourself a favor.
Hi, this is Don Fredrickson from GotNet. GotNet specializes in business services. Whether you need a T1 or T3 or just a place to host your website, GotNet has a solution to fit your needs. GotNet offers server colocation and custom website development. We have e-commerce servers, streaming audio and video servers, and Cold Fusion and database servers available to handle your hosting needs. GotNet understands that businesses rely on the Internet, and we work hard to assure fast, reliable service. Call GotNet today at 460-2000. Food, shelter, clothing, net. Got net?
When it's time to get away from all this and get to this. Get into Outdoor World for everything you need to look good, stay comfortable, and have fun in the great outdoors. That's locally owned and family-operated Outdoor World on River Street in Santa Cruz, 41st Avenue in Capitola, North Fremont in Monterey, and Highways 101 and 580 in San Rafael. And be sure to see our ads in the Good Times in Monterey County Weekly. Outdoor World. We gear you for adventure.
www.kseo.com.
And we return you now to the Saturday special with MZ.
At 11 before 11. Thank you, Sam. And we are almost jam-packed with phone calls. I want to make it a personal, a personal thing to make that happen, okay? So we need a couple more phone callers at 477-1340. Call us. We're talking water and property with Janet Laidlow, a concerned citizen from San Lorenzo Valley, Gordy Stewart, candidate for San Lorenzo Valley Water. I mean, you're not. You have been a candidate.
Twice now.
Are you going to be a candidate again?
Probably.
Okay.
I'm not going to give up.
All right. And Skip Mathis, who's a former candidate of San Lorenzo. Now, these are people who you're not just sour grapes because you didn't win. You're very.
No.
You're upset because there's a lot of.
There's some real issues here. It's not a personal. Look, I want this to be clear to all the listeners out there. I get along fine with every one of those board members. But something happens when they get into that boardroom and start discussing.
Power.
It's ego.
Power. Yeah. And ego. Power,
yes.
And ego.
Yes.
Well, can't the power and ego be diverted toward the good of the people instead of the ill of the people?
I'm trying to do that with them. I work with them on their education committee. I wasn't part of the committee. They wouldn't allow me to be part of the committee. But
do they resent you?
Initially, yes, they did.
But now?
But they did respect me because I did have a lot to bring to the table in clarifying what should and shouldn't be done as far as this educational program that they wanted to get going. From that, I gained a lot of their respect. They know that I know what I'm talking about, and I do speak with authority on these matters, and I have no doubt that that program is completed in record time. And I'm also trying to work with them on this water tanks issue. I want water tanks up there for all the rural landowners, which has two main reasons. One,
fire protection.
Yes, and the other is backup in droughts.
That's exactly right. So who can argue with that?
Well, they can't argue against it. In fact, outside of the forums, David Ross came up to me and said he thought it was a good idea. But, you know, trying to get this done, they put the bear on my back. They want me to write up the whole program. And I have some reservations about doing that. Why should I put in a couple hundred hours of work when they're just going to take it for me and, you know...
Probably table it.
And table it, or, you know, at my insistence it may go through, or, you know, I don't have an ego in play here. I don't care about credit on this, but I probably will copyright whatever I send them.
So it sounds like you're going to do it.
Oh, I am.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
In fact, to put a little... And these issues that Gordy raises are not... specific to modern times either. You know, a little history on Waterman Gap property. When it was purchased originally, it was purchased for the purposes of putting in a major reservoir up there to capture the water for drought and drought years and to have plenty of water for use. This idea more or less was shelved or discarded because of the concept that plentiful water supply may lead to development. And the anti-growth concept...
God help us if that happens. God help us if there's development.
And, of course, it's always been my...
To feed the economy.
Exactly.
To keep us from dying.
And even for those who are opposed to growth, and there are those, these issues should be regulated through zoning and ordinances, not through... the lack of providing a natural resource necessary to sustaining life.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Skip. Now we're going to go. We're going to jump to the phone lines, okay? Let's go to our next caller here who will be on line three. That is none other than Bill in Monterey. Hi, Bill in Monterey.
Hey, Mr. Z. How are you?
I'm fine. What do you got for us today?
I was wondering, this land deal sounds like it's racketeering under the guise of government authority.
You got it. That's what they're doing up there.
Yes, well, the RICO.
Well, were you just waiting for a listener to suggest that? Why didn't you just come out swinging with that, if that's what you believe there, Janet?
Well, I guess I like to be kind of diplomatic about things and try to...
Why? The time is limited. I mean, why don't you just come right out and say what you think?
Well, okay, that's racketeering going on up there. It's environmental racketeering.
Uh-huh.
These people are using their position on the water board to take care of their environmental cronies who are dictating to them how to lock up our land in state and protection, preserve it, and eventually it's going
to
burn.
Have you ever made this kind of an accusation to them before publicly or in any kind of a letter to the editor or anything
right
like
that?
Right
here I have...
These are serious charges.
Right here I have something where I quoted from the Redwood Review up at the university. And
well, just a yes or a no. Just a yes or a no.
Have I ever...
Have you ever accused them of racketeering before today?
I haven't come out and put it that way, but I've asked them a lot of questions.
For the first time, you did it today because this caller, Bill in Monterey, has suggested that term, and you chimed in and said, you know, that's right.
Well, Jan has been gaining in her confidence over the years. I mean, she was a total victim, and she's getting stronger and stronger and more adamant and more expressive. She isn't 100% there yet.
Monterey, Bill, I don't mean to step on your call here because you've been waiting quite a long time. Does it bother you as much as it bothers me that these arrogant people from the water board, not a one of them had the courtesy or the dignity to participate in this program? That's basically telling us, screw you, we're in power. We don't even have to talk to you guys.
Well, no, what really galls me is that they call themselves environmentalists. And if this forest area burns down because of the lack of thinning the trees, which really... the end result is letting the trees that remain there grow larger and stabilize the soil even more, that these guys are totally counterproductive to being environmentalists. And they're such phonies, it's unbelievable what they try to espouse.
You were absolutely right. We need varied growth. We need young trees. We need middle-aged trees. We need old trees in a healthy forest. Up there in the Waterman Gap area, we've got exclusively old trees and dead trees, dying trees, diseased trees, fire traps. It's a disaster.
Well, you should have at least the size of the canopy of a tree before you get another tree next to it.
Well, we have situations. If you drive up Highway 9, even from Santa Cruz, and look at the forest along there, you'll see that there are just thousands, millions of little trees all struggling for light and water. These trees, a lot of the trees need to be cut out, the small ones, so that you can get some big growth again. We'll never have any big growth if we let, you know, in one little spot, you know, you might have 30 little trees struggling. Well, I'm a gardener, and I know that if I put 30 little tomato plants in a big pot, I'm not going to get anything. I'm going to get a bunch of little plants struggling for light.
Hey,
so that's
what?
Why you thin plants.
I'm so excited. On line 7, we have David on a mobile phone who was on the Waterman Gap Committee.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so that's a good... Bill, I think we're done, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
My thanks.
Thanks for waiting. Appreciate your call to the Saturday special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. Okay, David, what you got for us?
Oh, how you doing? I didn't know I'd come up so soon.
Well, I didn't want to let you get away.
Well, Michael, I want to thank you for at the beginning you took the other side for task. I don't like it when other people don't show up for debates.
I'm really disgusted with them. You know, the people, and it happens more and more. KSCO used to be really, really good at getting participation from all sides of a controversial issue. We can't do it anymore because you can't force them. You can't hold a gun to their head. If they're uncomfortable, these weasels out there are just uncomfortable if they have to be accountable to anybody.
Just duck and cover every time.
Yeah.
So
community.
I guess, you know, this is your I have to come up with a new promo about your Shed Light on the Weasels radio station, AM 1080 KSCO.
Send in the cowards.
Yeah, there's nothing to fear from a good debate, and I'm also discouraged from on any subject, not just this, when people don't show up.
So
I was on a committee, and you know, those were the old days. That was quite a while ago, and it's true. The committee, they did vote to keep the land. It was a unanimous decision, and the board later decided, well, that's, you know, we better sell it. And I about the old growth forest, you know, with logging practices the way they are, the canopy is not that diminished. In fact, you get more water with a managed forest than you get with an overgrown forest. That's science. You get more water in the rivers. You might remember that 30, 40 years ago, the San Lorenzo River was higher. That's because the canopy wasn't as large. The trees... Redwood trees are water pumps, and the more you have, then the more water is not in the ground.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, about them being water pumps, I worked on a project called Project Meadowlark in the Sierras, where we went out and we thinned out a small forest, and as we were cutting these trees out, the water started getting so deep we had to leave the area. The pine trees there consume 850 gallons of water per tree per day. The redwoods, which are also conifers, consume a similar amount, if not greater amount, of water.
Now, my second big concern is with, you mentioned that the county and these government agencies, actually, they fear having too much water because it puts the pressure on growth. That's true. And I was part of the, I was a very active part of the water meter group that was power that went to bat 4 years ago and put a stop to the Board of Supervisors wanting to put water meters on our wells. We knew what they wanted to do, and they backed down.
Yep.
Now, as a matter
years
of fact...
years ago, it was the closest thing to a lynching that that I saw. People at the Board of Supervisors feared for their lives.
They're ready to jump out the window after turning the ego.
Listen, if you're on the line, stay with us. We'll get back to you, but it's 11 o'clock here on KSEO Santa Cruz. Back in 6 minutes.
Right.
Need to hang up on your butt.
baby, but I had to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
Oi. You know that for years we've been bragging about how KSCO has the best technical difficulties of any radio station. Can we give ourselves that award, or should someone at least step forward and give us that award?
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that, about just making our own award and hanging it, because nobody else has done that for us now, and we definitely deserve it. I mean, there's no question about it that no radio station in the world has better technical difficulties than AM 1080 KSCO, your favorite radio station, and I think it's high time we were so recognized. Don't you feel that way? I mean, everybody who's in the room here.
Well, I think the important issue, Mike, is that you go on.
Well, no. Even given those circumstances, that to me that's an accolade, because it shows the homegrown atmosphere that exists in real live down home radio.
Yeah,
it's not canned.
It really isn't. And until about 2 seconds ago, the volume control for the telephone system was up, and I was looking around to see who was clearing his or her throat, and it was really the person on the telephone. Is that David?
Yeah, I didn't realize I was still on.
Well, if we didn't have the best technical difficulties in the world, you wouldn't have been on. So anyhow.
Well, I agree with Skip. It's kind of your character now. You've got a real radio station, and it is one of the freest on the air. You don't even have filtering for occasional profanity.
Well, thanks for letting the world know that.
That was a big secret.
Yeah, that was a big secret that we don't employ audio condoms here.
This
we
don't is have live. A delay.
There is no. Yeah, this is live, real time.
All right. Now, listen, as the judge would say, the listeners will disregard that last comment from the caller here. So,
I'd like to make a comment following up on the water issue that governments don't really want. Large water supplies. The Board of Supervisors has always been like that. They were always afraid to have reservoirs and even using abandoned quarries to
because it will encourage growth, supposedly, right?
Right. Yes, uh-huh. I've heard it stated on the Board
so
of Supervisors.
So instead, the growth happens anyhow, and no one has any water or has enough water.
Yeah, the former supervisor here said that California is a water poor state. That's not true. It's true because of the type of government that he was a member of, that they don't encourage water.
Who are you talking about?
I'm talking about Jeff Holmquist.
Oh, him.
He said in public, California is a water-poor state. It's simply not true. Maybe Southern California is. They depend on...
Santa Cruz County is a prosperity-poor county, that's for sure.
Yeah, this is a rainforest area.
Right.
This is a primeval rainforest.
One thing that gets me is we need to use a little creative thinking here. I also ran for the water board a couple years ago, and one of the things that I thought we should do, and this doesn't seem like it's that, it took that long to think of, is God gives us all of this rainwater that falls all winter, and we let it just hit the ground, go down to the ocean, mix, and then we complain about lack of water. You know, with the idea of the water tanks, you know, if we just set it up so we captured rainwater, what an interesting idea, you know? It's free.
Yeah, cisterns.
Yes, yeah, cisterns or just making...
There is this push to make us dependent upon our government. And if there's not a problem, well, by golly, the government will create one.
And I've heard that they're going to try to make it illegal to capture and use rainwater, which...
Well, I want to thank David for his call to the Saturday special, and it's time to move on to the other phones. By the way, we do have a couple. That opens up one line at 477-1340. If you want to call, now is a good time, but use the 477-1340 number. Al in Santa Cruz will be our next caller. You're on the air, Al, on the KSCO Saturday special.
Hey, guys. Good show.
Why, thank you.
I did want to ask you guys, though, because, well, just to let you know, I ain't talking out my butt about all this.
We don't allow people to talk out of their butt here
okay.
on the SEO Saturday Special.
I mean, I do live on the San Lorenzo River. I've kayaked it at flood stage and whatever from, like, Boulder Creek up past the golf course down and then carried my boat up as far as I could up off of Highway 9 up towards Castle Rock there. So, you know, and also... when I was a kid, I grew up where we had a local water company. It was a Court Street Water Company with about 20 families on it. And, yeah, eventually the government came in and took it over, and now the water's lousy because it's mixed with all the other crappy water. And, you know, I've also seen things where, you know, I don't know if you know at one point that the San Lorenzo Valley was accused of increasing the E. coli count in the water because of their septic systems, and they wanted to put everybody on a sewer, and it turned out there was a leak in the Santa Cruz City sewer system that was leaking into the water here. Yeah. So,
this is an outrage.
Yeah, there was a microbiology project up at the university to see if it was actually dog poop, and there's a way you can identify whether E. coli, if it comes from a human or from a dog, and blah, blah, blah. And anyway, but the thing is, and I don't doubt for a second that...
If it's from a dog, they call it E. coli.
Yeah. I mean, I don't doubt for a second that that land probably was sold off to prevent maybe some, you know, a reservoir up there. And the way Sempervirens usually works is they do buy land and they will sell it to the state at a loss if they can't get all their money back. And it's you know, it's basically they're trying to preserve land. But my question is that really a problem? I mean, if the majority of citizens want to limit growth by limiting the water supply, why shouldn't they be allowed to do that?
Because of this thing called the U.S. Constitution and Bill of Rights. You have the right to property, to own property, to do with it whatever you want to, as long as it doesn't affect somebody else's rights.
Yeah, this but see, wait a minute. They bought that land fair and square.
They didn't buy it fair and square. They bought it, but they didn't buy it fair and square.
How did they not buy it fair and square?
They ignored the realities. They ignored the people's wishes. They only listened to certain people. They went against the wishes of their own committee on this matter.
How do you know that isn't the people's wishes, though? Because, you know, for me...
Because
look,
we were never allowed to vote on it. Even though we had an initiative to take a vote on this process, we were never allowed to vote on it.
Well, it's also something of a representative government, too. You know, we do trust our officials to a certain extent, and I know they let us down most of the time, but we do trust them to make decisions for us, too.
Well, it's kind of interesting. We just voted in the last election here to sell surplus state-held land. So it would be funny if this land then got sold as surplus land.
Well, they might do that, you know, but usually when it's donated... Well,
then the district could buy it back. That'll be a happy ending.
Yeah,
but, you know,
price?
Usually, I don't know what it means legally, but a lot of times when land's donated by, like, the Sempervirens Fund or whatever, they can't necessarily sell it. But anyway, my point is, I don't know if there's anything wrong with that. You know, watershed, just as watershed, is worth a lot of money in terms of, like... you know, you got to think about the fishermen, because I've seen people fishing on the thing there, you know, in terms of silt reduction. And, I mean, I don't know if you realize it, because all the dams they put in down in Southern California in places, they don't have any sand on the beaches, so they're trucking sand into places. And that's because they've dammed up the rivers in a lot of places.
Well, ecologically, it's a different situation up here because of the ruggedness of the terrain. When you talk about silt, you must realize that these fish that migrate up, they migrate up the rivers after all the storm activity has ceased.
Well, I understand.
Okay.
I don't want to get into the fine point.
Well,
but my major
well,
point
I want
is,
to get a point across
it,
to you.
It affects a lot of other people. And for me, wait a minute, growing up in Southern California and seeing all the agricultural land developed around me, I don't know what's with you people sometimes that you want to see everything developed.
No,
and
we don't want to talk about
minute,
development. We want to talk about
see.
Sensible environmental restrictions, not ones that go overboard because of somebody's emotions. Now, a sensible thing to do on the rivers is, first of all, understand what the problems are. One of the problems that is claimed to exist does not exist.
What problem is that?
That is that siltation somehow affects fish populations. It does not. Those
it does
fish,
too. See,
the
now,
fish,
now we
no,
have a
listen,
disagreement about that now.
Please listen to me.
Wait a minute. I know
listen
you have
to
a lot more expertise.
I'll tell you some facts here. These fish come up the river when the water is clear. They lay their eggs. There are no storms during the summer period that disturbs silt. After the eggs hatch out, then in late September, typically in this area, the storms begin and those fish move out to sea before the silt is ever a problem.
Yeah, but see, that's not the problem, because if you do have a huge amount of siltation, it covers a lot of the gravel beds and some of the other areas, so it doesn't matter whether the water's clear or what time of year it is. Now, I know it's a fine balance between too much silt and not enough and whatever. The thing is, I'm just saying that, you know, these sort of water things affect a lot of other people downstream, upstream, and whatever.
And
like, you guys are talking about trees being water pumps. Yeah, I know that's true. But I also grew up in an area where all the orange growers wanted to increase the flow in areas. They cut down all the cottonwood trees, and we had floods downstream from them, okay?
Well, you know what my concern is?
I agree with you that a lot of environmentalists don't know what the heck they're talking about either. And one of the reasons the forest is too thick in a lot of those areas is because it was logged a long time ago, and then once you've logged it, you've got to maintain it in terms of going in and thinning out some of the other trees.
It's like shaving your hair. It's like shaving your hair.
Yeah,
once
but it's
shave,
also
it
once...
it comes back even thicker.
It's once that you've messed it up, then you have an obligation to go in and cut it. So, you know, I'd agree with you and disagree with some other environmentalists.
Well, the property up there was logged to rebuild San Francisco after the big earthquake. And
yeah, I know that, but yeah, what's your point, though? The problem is...
My concern is the fire danger. You know, if you were living up there and you had to deal with the fact that this is not being cared for, Castle Rock...
It depends
Park
on the area that you're talking
for.
About. I mean, you can have a redwood forest that's definitely overgrown and an unhealthy forest, but it's not necessarily a fire hazard. You can have other areas that are mixed, you know, oak and pine and whatever else that, yes, are a fire hazard and should be thin.
So who do you think ought to be making these decisions? Do you think it ought to be done by popular consensus or by some real authorities and experts in the
Well,
project?
I'll tell you. It's got to be a mixture because I, unfortunately, even though I believe in a democracy, we've got so many idiots in this democracy, and I'll be elitist about it and say a lot of the public isn't capable of making that. Now, if they're informed about it and we can vote on it, that would be the best.
That's all we're
asking.
That would
be the most ideal system.
And that's why we're here today, is to try to inform people.
But my point is there's a lot of people in this area that don't want to see a certain amount of growth. I personally will waste as much water as I possibly can because I'll be damned if I'm going to limit my shower so that the city can save that water and give it to somebody who wants to develop them.
Right.
Develop it. So, you know,
develop what
the heck
now?
With that.
Wait a minute. You're talking. You're getting close to home now. There's nothing I like better than my nice warm shower.
Well, exactly. So why shouldn't I have a nice warm city? They want all these volunteer programs. Oh, conserve water, conserve water. Okay. Well, if you want to conserve your money and not pay so much, that's okay. But why the hell should I conserve water if they're just going to save it so they can pass it along to some other developer who wants to build a place
and create more of a
water shortage?
Yeah, I agree with you 100% on that.
I've become anti-development because of what Santa Cruz Al just said. He's a very intelligent caller, and I had forgotten just how intelligent he is.
Yeah. Well, we've had this thing
called
low-flow toilets going on for quite a while. This is a big scam. I was over there in San Jose, part of that program. I was a toilet police. I had a badge and everything. I could go to somebody's resident and go inside their house to inspect their toilet, make sure they had a low-flow toilet. Now, these things, upon examination, are not all they're cracked up to be, excuse the pun.
Well, no,
I
know.
But what happens at the
I
end of the line...
I don't understand why that was a pun.
Well, one of the things I do in another life is replace toilets for people, okay? And I've got a storage shed full of, like, high-flow toilets because what happens is
there's
a lot
a black
of people,
market.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, there's a black market for those toilets.
Exactly.
So are you in the plumbing equipment business?
Yeah, you name it, I've done it. But anyway, one of the problems is the rich people, like in Carmel Valley and whatever else, is whenever you sell a home here, you have to put in a low-flow toilet. Well, most of them are pieces of junk.
That's right.
And they actually have.
I was
studies.
Afraid you were going to say pieces of something else.
Well, aside from the plumbing problems of which you're aware of, because older houses where these are things were aimed at, where you had a 5-gallon flusher and now they want to put in a 2 or 1.8, these drain systems don't have proper slope. So, hey, come.
Exactly.
Yeah, now, down at the end of the line, the problem.
All you have to remember is that bleep flows downhill.
You get sludge buildup.
Now, this sludge is so thick that the water septic treatment plants can't handle it, and guess what? They have to augment it with potable water so the biodigesters work. Over in the San Francisco Bay Area, where they put a lot of these in, especially in San Jose, that water coming out of the septic treatment plants is no longer the same quality of water that was before the low-flow toilets. As a consequence, the marine waters have been moving up the system and creating these biotic zones that include nothing but worms and other things that don't really do much for our environment.
I understand that. That's some of the stupidity of certain people that are just blind environmentalists. And in fact, they've shown some of the toilets actually.
Well, they're useful idiots.
There's
this collusion that's going on between a lot of our bureaucrats and private companies where they come in with this song and dance routine about how they have some new device, some new gimmick, some new way, whether it's a shower head or a toilet or whatever. They're making money off of selling these things, and then they get our bureaucrats to make a law so that everybody's got to buy one, whether it's a smog pump on your car, catalytic converter, or there's a whole industry out there that's totally corrupt from beginning to end. The environmental issues are never really adequately addressed.
Well, okay, I agree with you on that, it isn't peculiar just to environmental movements or anything else. This sort of corruption and stupidity has always existed. It's part of human behavior, and it's especially part of bureaucracies.
And now let's also address the fleecing of America concept to all this. This land was originally acquired by the district, which is a government agency, maintained by the district at district expense, which means it was paid for by the government, maintained by the government, which is us and our taxes and monies. Then later sold at a reduced rate, albeit, and to me that's a concern because it could have been, we as water district customers could have gotten $20 million for the property, not nine plus.
Kept the land.
Then it was turned around and sold to the state, and some of the money for it was then reacquired from the state, which again is our money. So there's a big shuffle of our money to buy what's already ours. Now, this land was in government hands. And by the way, 52% of all of California is now in government hands. So I don't know where this is going to end. Why not just turn it into one complete communist state and stop pretending there's such a thing as private ownership anymore?
Yeah, what do you say to that, Al?
Yeah.
I mean, we got 52% of the real estate. Where do we need to end? I mean, we hear arguments. Yes, it's okay for groups like the Sempervirens or Sierra Club or whoever to purchase public land and preserve it. Well, they're at 52%. Where do we draw the line at where are we going to live? Because we can't live on government land. They're more and more cutting us off from
now,
it.
Now, listen, Skip.
Now, when you say 52%, Skip, though, you got to realize, you know, most wilderness areas are up on the tops of mountains that weren't economically viable to rape anyway.
Alan, Skip.
And in deserts, so they're kind of useless.
There are so many people waiting on hold.
Okay.
And if we make them wait much longer,
hey, great
we're
show,
going
though,
to
you
we're
guys...
gonna cease to be their favorite radio station.
Okay. Great show, as usual, and thanks, Michael Zwirling. You definitely are an asset to this community here. You really are. Even though I only agree with you guys about half the time, I wouldn't trade you for anything.
Well, half is good enough.
Well, you are coming. I'm coming around to your way of thinking, Al.
Well, I don't know what you mean by that, but
anti-development, because all you had to talk about is curtailing your nice warm shower, and it hit home.
Hey, well, you know, it isn't just about that. It's about having farmers instead of shopping centers too.
That created an epiphany.
I used to walk and I had friends who rode their horses to school and stuff like that, and now there's all shopping centers in those areas. And, you know, I kind of miss that. And I'd like to be able to...
You know what I kind of miss? And here, this is going to sound silly to everybody. When you guys were talking about toilets,
yeah,
I was missing the good old days when I used to install toilets. I got pretty good. I got to be a super record speed holder toilet installer. Is
well,
there
maybe
anybody
I'll
out there
challenge
who would
you.
Like me to who would like me to install his or her toilet just for good old time's sake? I don't even know if I'd charge anything.
That's when you had the reservoir way up on the wall and
no.
the shame.
No. No, it was just you know.
Back in the old days.
It was a silly thing. It's the kind of work that nobody likes to do, but, you know, especially installing a new toilet was fun, you know, that had never been used before, but, swapping out an old toilet was unpleasant work, but I was really good at it.
You know, they all look alike when you pull them up, too, whether they're in a rich person's house or a poor person's house.
That's right.
That's great. Hey, thanks for the call.
Okay,
Take care. It's 27 minutes past 11 a.m., hour number two. Excuse me. Of the KSCO, KSCO Saturday Special. Special guest, Janet Ludlow.
Laidlaw.
So thank you. Did I say that before?
Yeah.
You should have corrected me before.
I was going to, but...
All right. Janet Laidlaw.
Right.
Okay. Gordy Stewart and Skip Mathis. And all of you, the callers, in our almost jammed phone lines. It was jammed until Santa Cruz Al left. That opens up a line. One line only, folks, at 479-1080. So call it. I just feel much more secure when we have jammed phone lines, even though we don't get to the call. All right, who's next? Michael on a mobile phone. Boy, he's been waiting a long time. Hey, Michael, thanks. You're on.
Hello.
It's not Michael. It's not Michael.
This is Jeanette from Boulder Creek.
Jeanette from Boulder Creek?
Yeah, the Jeanette. I'm sorry, Michael, for coming before you, but... I just wanted to say that one gentleman that said that we need to trust government. Boy, I tell you, the hair on the back of my neck went up on that one. And anybody that says that we need to trust government puts a red flag up for me to not trust that person.
Who was that? Which caller was that? And we'll make a mental note not to trust that person when they call from now on.
I don't know who he was, but anyway, the other thing that I wanted to say that was much more important was that I know a man that used to test the SLV water, and he was told to quit bringing bad reports, and so he quit testing for them, and he won't come forward because of retaliation. Mr. Mathis is aware of this situation.
Who is it?
Well, I'm not going to mention any names, but anyway, that's all
no
I have.
No list.
Thank you very much, and thanks for doing the work that you're doing there.
Who are you talking to?
Welcome.
All of us?
All of us.
All of you. All of you.
Well, thank you very
there
much.
There is a case where I think it was Jim and Jane Hyde. They were in Ben Lomond, and...
Did you lose your train of thought?
Oh, I'm just trying to gather my
words. Their water is contaminated. Was contaminated, and probably still is.
Yes, their water was contaminated, but because of politics in the valley, they were squeezed out of the valley. They moved out.
They
of
left.
There.
They went to Oregon. They pretty much bankrupted them. They had a bad water pipe that rotted out.
And one of the workers, they got a piece of this pipe. And
for evidence
it was tuberculed. The piece of pipe was tuberculed. Mm-hmm. That was why they kept it.
Jane had the piece of pipe, and one of the workers came back and he said, I have to have that piece of pipe. If I don't bring that piece of pipe back, they're going to fire me. And she felt sorry for him and gave him the piece of pipe back. And these people were running a goat rescue up in Ben Lomond. But they were politically on the wrong side of things, and consequently they were fined and red tagged and everything. They left the county, so this type of thing goes on.
We have
there.
A caller who can speak to that, I think, actually coming up. By the way, I want to say to Bruce and Aptos, who's angry that I have one caller dominating and not taxing others. No, I mean not taking others, excuse me. We will get to you next, Bruce, but right after... We take the call from Pat Dugan, who's been waiting for 30 minutes plus. Pat, you're on the KSCO Special.
Hello, Michael.
Hey, how you doing?
Well, if I were any better, I wouldn't be listening.
Why?
Well, because all the problems with the world would be solved, and I wouldn't have to call you saying, what the heck is going on here with somebody actually attempting to demonstrate that a government program works.
I thought it was really funny that... Remember when Keeley was running for Congress for what was it? What did he run
assembly.
For? Assembly. And we had back in the days when we used to have candidates forums, and you were down here, you know, just like a gnat, you know, just trying to irritate him.
A gadfly.
Yeah, it was great. It was really funny.
We have a serious problem up here with government attempting to take over a private water district using a couple of socialist organizations and intimidating citizens in the Felton Water District to either not get involved in this or intimidating them to where they will put up a sign supporting this government takeover of our private water district.
And politely declining all invitations from everybody's favorite radio station to participate and talk
Absolutely.
About it.
Absolutely. This is you talk about
weasels.
Private property.
That's all they are. They're just weasels.
They're socialists. And what's the difference? The socialists want this government takeover, but it's going to cost Felton people an awful lot of money in taxes, and they're going to get absolutely nothing from it. The water district is going to go to SLV Water District because they've already made the county and the water district involved, and you made a deal to co-opt the whole operation here. And what a lot of folks don't know, and what your readers have to know countywide, is that the ultimate goal of the Board of Supervisors here is to regionalize all the water districts in Santa Cruz County, intertie all of them, including which are all public agencies, and move that water down to the development in Watsonville.
Now, Patrick, you and I and Jan and Skip know that these plans are in place, but you and I and Jan and Skip have been down there at that water board meeting when they have absolutely denied that those kind of plans are underway.
Well, we have the Water Advisory Board's resolution that went to the Board of Supervisors, and the Board of Supervisors just a couple of meetings ago approved their letter in regionalizing management of the water district.
Well, let's just cut to the chase. They're liars, aren't they?
Well, of course they are.
Yeah.
Tell me a government agency that doesn't lie. The first thing they do is tell you how much something is going to cost and then have to go back into your pocket to cover the overages.
Yeah, and if we look through American history, you see these phases of bullyism have come and gone. You know, and we've got another phase that we're entering into now. The bullyism is to eliminate competition by any means necessary, and the two main competitors in this arena are the private property owners and the government. The government wants to eliminate the competition, the fair play, the fair market, the enterprises that can compete in a positive manner with the government.
This is a good point to make, and that fellow that was on a little while ago that commandeered your radio station for about an hour and a half made the point perfectly that
I've asked you a million times not to exaggerate.
All these nonprofits that are being funded by the government and using these enviro issues to sway population to never.
This
never
is 1938 all over, isn't it? We've just about registered all the guns. We're looking at the environment now.
Oh, yeah. Well, environmentalism is their strong point, and this is where these folks come in. Oh, my God, siltation and non-point source pollution. Do you ever hear of something as non-point source solution or pollution? I don't even know where something. But the only organization here in the Santa Cruz County that is established to protect the rights of property is the San Lorenzo Valley Property Owners Association, of which I am president and proud to be president.
What about CPR? Isn't CPR still operating?
Citizens for Planning Reform deals with planning reform, Michael, and
oh.
they don't...
Not general property rights. I got you.
Of course, a lot of it is property rights. That's planning reform, is to try and reform this government agency, which we have had Marty Wamhout and the Board of Supervisors has said, yes, we understand there's a problem here, and yes, we are going to do something about it, but we're not going to change our policies because they are in place to protect the environment.
Not the people.
So consequently, all they're doing is shifting chairs around and getting rid of one director and bringing in another director and raising fees and directing policies to hurt and to destroy private property rights.
Don't forget the right
to the use of your property is paramount to a free society,
right, this is,
not just the ownership.
God, listen, I promised that we would get to Bruce next, and
we will. Thank you very much for your time,
okay,
Michael.
Thank you very much, Patrick. That was Patrick Dugan in the San Lorenzo Valley.
Well, Mike, before we rush to Bruce, can I touch
Rush? My God, the guy's been waiting forever.
Excuse me, Bruce. He's right. But But Pat did make some real salient points. And for those in the audience whose interests don't lie just in theory and conceptual and government talk, let me put it down to a couple of salient points to how it's going to impact them directly. When SLB Water, if they do, takes over Felton Water, if they operate in that system like they have in their own system, some of the things that you're going to have to look forward to, besides the millions of dollars you're going to pay for this system and then give it away, is you're going to probably be looking at fire hydrant loss, because that's a pattern of SLB Water. Whenever they upgrade a system, they forget to put the hydrants back in. They just put in a new main up on Kings Creek. No new hydrants. The bond money that they took out years ago, millions of dollars in bond money, with the acquisition of the new system, the money that was designated for will no longer be required. What are they going to do with that money? They're not telling us. And things like old dilapidated pipes, they'll spend millions of dollars on things like your environmental issues that really don't have anything to do under their purview. But yet people like Jim and Jane Hyde that were mentioned had tuberculated pipes. In other words, the water coming into their house was not particularly safe or sanitary, but yet rather than deal with it and replace bad pipes, they'll intimidate people. They even went into their house, searched through their closet and drawers looking for this pipe when the people weren't home. I mean, this is how bad it's gotten. So these are some of the direct ways that it's going to affect you as citizens. So these are things that if you don't care about government issues, think about how it's going to impact you and your family directly.
Okay, now we're going to take the call from Bruce in Aptos. Hi, Bruce in Aptos.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome. Hey, sorry you had to wait so long.
Oh, that's okay. Hey, I'll tell you what. I go, property rights in California is a dead issue. The immigration's adding close to 50,000 people a month to California's population, both in new immigrants and their children. And property owners, if you want to keep your property, you should be front and center to restrict water development and to restrict to restrict water development, because it's all it does is you increase the water supply. Is all you're doing is feeding an unsustainable growth rate. So, and I own property too, and I'm adamantly against growth and development, and I have just as much right to want to restrict someone's right to develop water as they do to develop the water on their property.
On their own property. Let's have a little chat, you and me here, okay,
sure,
Bruce?
Sure.
Do you believe that if a person has a piece of property that he's been paying on for years and hopes to retire to and wants to sink a well, that person should not be allowed to sink a well because of the possible impact to the water table and the aquifers and so forth?
It depends on the state of the aquifer, how much water is there,
suppose there were tons of water, just tons and tons of water.
Yes, a person should be, but they should not be allowed to sell it. They should not be allowed to. What I'm saying is, other property owners have a vested interest in not letting people develop water to sell, because the impact on our day to day lives, the quality we have. The right to expect a certain quality of living.
Okay.
And if we just turn California into one big third world lifeboat, we're not going to have any standard of living. So as a property owner, I want to restrict private property owners from developing water to sell to others, and I want to restrict property owners from being able to sell their land.
Bruce, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Now, I agree with you about restricting them from selling it to other
and
people.
And they can't do that now.
But if you're in like the San Lorenzo Valley Water District, you're paying taxes, and then you're told that you cannot have a hookup because you're in an area that either had a moratorium put on it in 1980 or whatever. These people, in order to do any development up there, have to put a well in. And now we already know that the Santa Margarita aquifer is overdrafted. So instead of hooking up to the water district hookup, everybody up there on the outlying areas has to put a well in. That doesn't make sense to me. You're paying into the water district with your tax money, but they won't give you a hookup. And I have a newspaper article right here that Jim Mueller, who's the district manager, says, even if we lift the moratorium, we have still have the ability to deny service to customers. And I've put this to them several times. They have a lot of money in their budget, but they will not add hookups unless people pay for the pipes. Now, these people are paying for a bond, and they're paying in their taxes. And
well, I work against bonds for the same population reason. It's a dog chasing its own tail to borrow money, high interest borrow money, to keep up with population growth that has no end to it. So
well, some of these people have been there for 20, 30 years.
Yeah, we were here first, okay? But we're being denied rights. We paid in this water district, but we received no services. I just plain call that theft.
Okay,
they're
okay,
stealing
now,
our money and taking it and not giving us. There's no quid quo pro here. So
would
that's
it your, would it be your water, sir? Would it be your water, or would it be water for a granny unit or for new people to live there? Or what would? What
well,
would
personally,
be
I'd like them to get out of my business. If they dried up and blew away, I'd be happy. I have springs on my property. I get my own water, and I resent the fact that I'm paying in a water district that provides me no service.
And no voice.
It's like you going to grocery store A and dropping a $1,000 check on them and then walking out and going to grocery store B to buy your groceries. That's not right.
Yes, that's true.
One thing I'd like to point out, in California we have a basic law here, I think it's 1873, with respect to water, it's first in time, first in right. That's exactly what it reads. That means if you own property and you find that water on there, it's yours before anybody else.
1873 was a long time ago.
The law is still on the book.
In 1873, the population of California, if I'm not mistaken,
the law is still valid. The law is still valid.
It's irrelevant. It's like there's laws.
The Ten Commandments was written thousands of years ago. It's still valid in my mind.
It's not the law either.
Gordy, you and Bruce are having a wonderful, spirited discussion here on Everybody's Favorite.
Can I ask Bruce a question here?
Because we have to move on.
Because he made a good point here, and I think we're all in agreement with it, and I think most people would be in the county, the sale of our water. There's a difference.
You can do anything you want with water on your property.
Well, but there's a difference.
You don't want to divide it, just as long as you don't want to divide your property.
Right, but there's a difference between pumping your water and using it and pumping your water and selling it for commercial purposes outside the area.
Or developing it. I'm against people making
subdivisions.
Yeah.
But to my knowledge, there is only one large-scale sale of water going on in this county.
Right.
And that's being conducted by an operation in the San Lorenzo Valley owned by Les Gardner. And if you don't know the name, he until recently and still is, he was the leader of the Central Committee Local Democratic Party. And he's allowed to pump millions of gallons of water and sell it over the hill to Black Mountain for bottling and commercial sale. And he's the only one, to my knowledge, that is continually allowed to do this. And when the question is raised, they continually turn our back on it. Sweep it under the rug, try to pretend it don't exist, but it does exist. A similar operation went into effect years ago in Boulder Creek. Mr. Keeley immediately shut that operation down with the help of the county and other agencies, but yet Les Gardner, because he's the Democratic boss in the county, has continued to sell it and is allowed to sell it by the millions of gallons. Now, my question to you is, do you believe that's fair? And why are certain select people allowed to do it, the political bosses in the county, but nobody else is?
I'm not saying it's fair, and to be honest with you, I'm not involved in the issue enough to say what should be done about it. My only point is there's a lot of people that are crying property rights are people that bought their land cheap. They want to divide it up into little parcels to make a lot of money. And that impacts me because my taxes are going up to pay for their children. I have to drive on overcrowded roads, and it's no longer true that anybody can do anything on their property.
Bruce, I'm
someone else's life miserable.
I'm really, really happy you called. What I'd like to do, if you, with your permission, is put you on hold And if you would give your name and phone number to the call screener, because we'd like to get in, I would like to get in touch with you later on and maybe set up a program with you and me, just you and me talking about this issue, okay? All right, great. So he's on two. Could you get his name and phone number, please, Bruce? Thank you very much, Bruce. So you've got 15 minutes left, and we have one, two, three, four callers. So if you're one of those four callers on hold, we promise we'll get to you, but we're going to do this commercial break first. It's KSCO AM 1080, your favorite radio station, back after this break.
My name is Troy, and I met my fiance on eHarmony.com.
My name is Tom, and I met my fiance Brenda on eHarmony.com.
My name is Jack, and I met my wife Jennifer on eHarmony.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. These are just a few of the thousands of eHarmony matches. Dating services give you a picture in a paragraph. We go a lot deeper. We start with a personality profile that features 29 dimensions of compatibility, crucial to a long-term relationship. And if you go to eHarmony.com right now, we'll give you this $40 profile free. And then we'll find you a soulmate based on compatibility in the most important areas of life. Visit eHarmony.com today. Get your free personality profile.
Hi, my name's Daniel, and I found my fiance Allison at eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy couples out there tonight, thanks to eHarmony.com.
Oh, by now you've heard a lot of ads for job search websites, and well, here's another one. But this time, with a difference. SantaCruzJobFinder.com. Now, we chose the name Finder in our name because, well, for us, it's all about being effective, where employers can find quality job candidates and prime candidates can find jobs. Now, there are local job sites who will charge around $200 to post your job for 30 days. And, of course, those monstrous national sites, over $300. But we think that's a bit pricey. So here at SantaCruzJobFinder.com, 30 days is just $99, 2 weeks for as low as $50, plus special discounts when you include your ad in the Santa Cruz Sentinel, reaching an additional 60,000 readers. Oh, and don't believe that bunk about people not looking for jobs in the newspaper anymore. It's a known fact that active job seekers look online and in their newspaper. So, more local jobs online than any other local site with pricing that makes sense. Place your ad today with SantaCruzJobFinder.com.
Hi, this is Bill Graff, KSCO's production director. Look, I could give you a lot of hoo-ha about how great our computer system is here. Bottom line is this. We have enough computers in this building that if our computers didn't work right, we'd be in a world of hurt. And our computers generally work pretty well. And when they don't, we can give a call to Dennis and the guys at Day and Night Computer, and they come over and fix them right away. We don't have to wait any time of the day or night. You know, that's nice for a business like ours that's so heavily dependent on computers and technology. Look, you can do whatever you want. My advice to you, though, is to call Dennis if you have a computer question or a computer problem, or if you just want him to build you a computer. And best of all, he'll save you time and money, and I suppose that's what it's really all about. The more money you save and the less downtime you have, the more profitable your company will be. If you don't have a company, hey, time is money at home, too. Remember that. Talk to Day and Night Computers. Call 465-7340. That's 465-7340. Do yourself a favor.
Buying a home around here is an expensive proposition. Hi, I'm Jim Chubb with Pacific Inland. I've been helping people save money on home loans for nearly 20 years, and I'd like to help you save money on your next home purchase. Right now, Pacific Inland has special programs that are helping people save real money when they buy a home. Call Pacific Inland at 831-475-2600, and we'll tailor one of these programs to help you buy a home. That's Pacific Inland at 475-2600, licensed by the California Department of Real Estate.
Okay, welcome back to the home stretch of the KSCO Saturday Special, 10 minutes before 12 noon. MZ, along with special guests in the studio, Janet Laidlaw, Gordy Stewart, and Skip Mathis, and you, the callers. I want to take the call from Santa Cruz Mike here. No, actually, Santa Cruz Mike is great. How about Anonymous, who's been waiting for a long, long time? We got to do this real fast, Anonymous. Can we do it?
Yes, we can. Good morning. I want to thank your guest for getting the word out on some of the problems that we have up here. And the reason I'm having to be anonymous is because I signed a secrecy agreement with the SLV Water District when I successfully sued them a couple of times back in the 80s. And just to give some of these things, issues have been raised today by your callers and by your guests. Back in the 81-82 flood that killed people, we had an issue where the same water company had trimmed all their trees and left them out in the creeks. They flooded up, caused a dam, and then broke loose and flooded a lot of homes down below.
Okay.
And when we had gone to the water company prior to this happening, and we had forecasted this is what's going to happen. If you guys don't, what the upstream neighbors do affects the downstream neighbors. They politely told us to mind our own business. And then when we offered to do it on our own time, at our own expense, and our own labor, they would threaten us with arrest for trespassing.
Oh.
Okay, so then what we had prophesied came about. A lot of people were damaged, and they later lost a suit of several million dollars. And when they wouldn't pay up on that suit, they lost a second suit and paid more money. Over the years, so I was in the situation then of leading a group of people against them. Then in 86, I was in the situation of having to defend them when the Big Con Reservoir was leaking and the neighbor was killed right below it. We found her body 2 weeks after. That was the 1986 Valentine Day flood. We had 14 inches of rain that day. Big Con Reservoir was leaking. Her house was crushed in a landslide right below the Big Con Reservoir up in Boulder Creek, right off of Foreman Creek, which is just going towards the Big Basin Park, not quite a mile out of town. So it's something that many people in the valley have driven by unaware. I was in a position this time of having to defend them when all of the neighbors wanted to shut them down. We got to have a water company. But what the inconsistencies and some of the things that's been brought about today, you heard people talk earlier about how they went out and made us get the septic permits back in 1980. We're still paying for this now. They had to go, I believe it was to Oregon. They brought in special inspectors to build a special system that was going to take care of everybody's septic tank, and then they put it on our water bill. We told them it would not work. Once again, everybody gets up, gets in line, goes to the meetings. A few people get to speak. The rest of them are looked at as being some kind of troublemakers. And they ran up thousands of dollars, which their own government stopped because it was too expensive for the price, the cost of the average salary income in the valley. So the problem that your guests are bringing about is when we tried to talk with these folks, year after year, time after time, it's no different now 24, 25 years later than it was then. You go in and you plead your case. You talk to them very nicely. In 1989, after the earthquake, I lost my well and could not get another well permit because Mr. Miller, as Jan mentioned earlier, the water company has to sign in your permit to get a well drilled. It's not like you just go out and drill a hole in the ground and water comes out.
We have 15 seconds to tie it up, okay?
Okay.
Sorry.
I'm just saying that we have to keep fighting to get the word out that we need people to be helpful and not look at everyone who's out here as being some kind of enemy group.
Okay. Hey, great. Thanks very much, Anonymous, for calling the Saturday
Thanks,
special.
Neighbor.
Okay. All right. Attention, MZ, a fact unknown. This is a fax. A fact unknown to 99-plus percent of Americans, as it apparently is to you, is that anything registered, whether land or well or car, is given to the government, and that's underlined twice, legally speaking. The so-called title holder becomes merely a beneficial owner, accepting a government privilege in lieu of our constitutional right to property. Privilege means you get to use the resource conditionally, on condition the beneficial owner, in quotes, obey all government statutes, rules, and regulations in regard to it. Please check out the law before you and your guests dismiss this as non-credible. KSCO could actually be responsible for getting accurate information to its listeners. Now, that's a dig, if there ever was one.
Play the disclaimer.
Which we ignore at our own risk. Anyone wishing to learn more is warmly invited to call me at 454-9392. And that's signed Reveille. And an asterisk at the bottom, it says, even gulp you. I guess it means he's inviting me to call him, too. All right, 5 minutes before 12 noon, the home stretch of the KSCO Saturday special. Santa Cruz Mike, you're on. Hello.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing pretty good. Another interesting show.
Great.
Do my ears deceive me, or is that Big Gun Gordy?
That's Big Gun Gordy. It is.
Hey, hi, Gordy. Mike.
Hey, how's it long time. I haven't seen you in a long time.
Small world. You can't run.
Hey, you know, talking about the state owning things,
yeah.
You know, there's so many people for that, and, you know, if the state was honest, maybe that would be okay. But I just came back from Shanghai, spent 10 days there. I stayed at the Shanghai Ritz, the J.C. Mandarin of Shanghai, real nice places and everything. Everywhere I was at, not only the visitors but the local people, you're not supposed to drink the public water in Shanghai.
Or else it's the death penalty.
Well, no, it's not that. It's just you don't know
yeah,
what happened.
It is the death penalty.
But see, that's the thing. You know, if you've got a good state, maybe that's okay. The question is, how good are our representatives? Are they really looking out for us? Are they really thinking about us?
No, I don't think so. I think they're just trying to take over.
Do you think the day will ever come when any of them will set foot in the radio station here or deign to call us on the phone?
Let me ask you this. What's the financial incentive for those on the water board making these decisions? Like, do they benefit from this in any way, from controlling people?
I'm glad you asked that question. You know, they only get paid $2,600 a year. As a director on that water board, so you gotta understand that there's other motivations there.
No, I'd say they're pretty petty if it takes $2,600 to make them go against people and screw everything up.
Well, it's the back deals, you know that. Yeah. It's the insider. You know, they close the meeting to the public every meeting. They close it to the public at some point when they're tired of hearing from us.
See, I don't understand that. Think about this. Maybe 100 years ago, maybe the people who were representatives of our country and our state and our local, maybe they were smarter than the average person. But today, you know what? The average citizen's a lot smarter than most of our government officials. So,
we just need to wake them up.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if we need to wake them up.
We need a 2x4 over their nose.
Okay, well, we got to move on, unfortunately. Thanks for calling Santa Cruz, Mike, and welcome back to the country.
Later.
Okay. All right, there he goes. Now, here's line two. Who in the world is this? It must be Jim in Boulder Creek. About fire hazard, someone should be sued. I mean, someone should be, you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, somebody should be sued. You should sue these bastards for fraud and for...
Are we allowed to say bastards on the radio?
Yeah, for creating a nuisance, man. They've created a huge, huge fire hazard in your backyard, and that could destroy the whole county.
Yeah, and look what happened in Southern California last year, and those people are just out of luck. The insurance companies wouldn't pay, and the state didn't help them out a bit. They said, hey, too bad, your place burned, bye.
My recommendation is that anybody who has eucalyptus trees anywhere near their house should have them cut down while they're still considered weeds.
And they are non-native invasive species.
By this county. Now, with the exception, if you happen to be in the coastal zone, they are considered heritage trees, and you better not be caught dead cutting them down.
Yeah, well, that's part of the
but outside of the coastal zone. What was that sound?
Okay, understand, these guys, that's my phone, I'm sorry, I apologize for that.
Okay.
Understand, it's not just a fire hazard. If these guys really are dedicated to preserving those old-growth redwood trees, they must clean out underneath those trees or they're going to end up burning out their own area, and it's not going to, you know, they're going to be defeating their own purposes.
Mother Nature will come along and do it, and you might not like the way she does it.
Oh, man, it stinks afterwards in a fire zone. I don't know if you were in Mariposa in 1987 like I was.
No, I wasn't.
But you didn't want to be there. It was so filthy, dirty, smelling the whole county.
Poor Bruce in Brookdale needs to talk here, and he's been waiting a long time. Go ahead, Bruce.
Quick couple anecdotes about flotation. Flotation affecting fish is a myth. There was an article in the Valley Press about a woman that was born basically in the San Lorenzo Valley. And in 1935, her dad would take the train from Oakland down here in the summertime, and he would pay a kid, I forget how much, but to get a
you
limit.
You only have 15 seconds.
To get a limit of trout, and that was 25. He'd get 25 trout before breakfast. That's how many trout there were, and there were many more dirt roads, and the place was essentially clear-cut. There was lots of silt in that river. And you can't even see a trout now.
Okay, thank you very much for calling the Saturday Special. I hate to do that because he waited a long time. But that's it, folks. Thanks for showing up to the program today. This program will be rebroadcast.
Thank you, and thanks to all the callers out there. Keep awake.
Oh,
can I get 1 second in here, Mike?
At the beginning of the next show. At the beginning of the next show. Okay, that's the end of the show. We can do the that's all, folks, here. That's all, folks. That's all, folks.
That's all, folks. USA Radio Network News. Kurt Lewis reporting.
Even with more than 1,200 dead terrorists now counted up in Fallujah, U.S.